Today on the Inland Journal podcast, for the last 2 weeks or so, we've featured interviews with candidates for Spokane City Council. Now we're back to the mayor's race. Steve Jackson has talked with candidates Kelly Cruz, Jonathan Bingle, and Ben Stuckert. You can hear their full interviews at the Spokane Public Radio website. Over our next two programs, we'll hear from the final two candidates in the mayoral race. On Friday, Nadine Woodward, and today, Sean Poole. Poole is a City of Spokane firefighter. Here's his conversation with Steve Jackson.
Maybe let's start with kind of your general background and then why you're running for the position and maybe why you feel you're qualified.
Okay. General background, I grew up in Spokane, born and raised. Went to high school here, went to college, University of Montana. Got my degree and my commission as a second lieutenant in the United States Army simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Went on active duty, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Did that, got out of the Army, and wanted a place to come back to raise a family. And Spokane was a logical choice because I grew up here.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful city. At the same time, I was looking for a job. Was fortunate enough to get hired by the Spokane Fire Department. Got back into the Army or got into the Army Reserve system when I got back to Spokane. So what makes me uniquely qualified is 30 years of executive level leadership experience in the United States Army. I can't think of a better organization or institution that teaches leadership and relies on leadership in life and death situations. You know, in the Army, we didn't have the luxury of forming task forces or forming committees to study an issue. We problem solved, and we prided ourselves in the ability to solve problems and make decisions, and again, at times, life and death decisions. So the reason I decided to run is because, as I said before, I moved back to Spokane because when I left, it was a beautiful city, and it still is a beautiful city. We have some issues that we need to address. We have some problems that we need to overcome, and I want to help Spokane throughout that process of addressing these issues and solving some of these problems that are plaguing the silent majority in Spokane.
Okay. So why don't we start with maybe what do you think your priority issue is? What's the number one thing you'd like to tackle? And then we'll get into some of those specifics that we had told you about.
It's probably no different than any other mayoral candidate. Probably the homeless transient issue. The homeless transient issue, it transcends just about everything that is happening in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
It lends itself to the uptick in property crime. It lends itself to substance abuse. It lends itself to illicit drugs, those types of things. So that would be my number one priority because when you start to address that issue, I think you'll see second and third order effects in reduction in property crimes,
mm-hmm.
reduction in the amount of opioid overdoses, reduction in the sheer number of people out in the streets that maybe give people the perception that Spokane's not safe.
What would be your plan to maybe tackle that? And maybe you could couch it with what do you think the city's doing, properly to deal with that now or maybe improperly? But what's your overall solution?
Well, I think that as a city, we start by enforcing the law. You look at studies across the board and throughout time, and I believe when Mayor Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City, they instituted a program called Broken Windows. And part of that program was enforcing the law and enforcing things like jaywalking, the most minute laws that were on the books. When people that wanted to do bad things saw that they were enforcing, these little things like jaywalking, and they were passionate about enforcing the law, these criminals had second thoughts about committing more violent crimes or bigger crimes, things like that. So that's one of the effects of enforcing the law. We need to make it extremely uncomfortable for the chronically homeless to be chronically homeless in Spokane. And it starts with enforcing the law, the sit-lie ordinances, the no camping, the no panhandling. You're a first-time visitor to Spokane. You get off the freeway, and the first thing you see are a bunch of people asking for money. I've got feedback from a lot of people who aren't from Spokane, and they've echoed the same thing. I really don't want to come back to Spokane. I can see this in Seattle if I want to, where I live. So make it difficult, make it uncomfortable to be chronically homeless. Once we do that, and this is just my opinion, once we do that, then those chronically homeless that actually want our help, We have a very generous city and generous people, and we have a lot of services to offer. There are a certain population of the homeless that don't want those services. They don't want to conform to societal norms. They want a free meal a day. They want those. That's the nomadic lifestyle they've become accustomed to. And they don't want to change. And it's evident in what they do in Spokane. You know, the rampant drug use, IV drug use, and the needles that are, you know, are just about in every park, in every place in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
The total disrespect that this group of people have for, you know, the city of Spokane and the citizens of Spokane. They urinate and defecate wherever they want. And to me, that's a lack of respect for the people that are trying to help you. So if we start holding people accountable, if we enforce the law, we start holding people accountable, and, hey, we're here to feed you, but you have to invest back in us too. You know, we have some projects. We need some streets that we need to get cleaned up because they have garbage on them. You know, can you participate in this program where you help us clean the streets up and we'll provide these services? The true homeless that actually want help,
mm-hmm.
you know, the they've become homeless because they've been forced, you know, they've been rented out of their apartment, lost a job, some unforeseen reason. I guarantee you they're going to jump at that chance to do that because they want to invest back in Spokane. The transients, on the other hand, that want to live the nomadic lifestyle, they're going to look at a Spokane as a less than friendly, less than handout friendly city to be in. Chances are that, you know what, if you don't want our help and you're going to continue to disrespect Spokane, then Spokane's probably not the place for you. Chances are, and I'm not an advocate for pushing transients or homeless out to any place other than Spokane, but, you know, the what'll happen is I think you'll see them seek out a new town or a new city that is more handout friendly. The second order effect is that, you know, some of those transients that may be addicted to drugs and maybe involved in committing property crimes to feed their drug habit, they're going to take that crime with them to someplace else. So you're going to see a reduction in property crime as well.
You know, talk a little bit then about the current makeup of the council, or maybe what do you think is going well and what changes are most needed in the current elected leadership?
My read on the council and the current administration is that, you know, a lot of times they butt heads. You have a seemingly conservative mayor, even though it's a nonpartisan position, and you have a seemingly liberal council, with the exception of Mike Fagan. I don't think you're going to agree on a lot of things. And I think we've seen that time and time again with, you know, the number of times that Mayor Condon has vetoed a council ordinance, and mm-hmm. then they come back and override that veto. I would like to see city government work in conjunction with each other. You get a lot more done. You have a lot more cohesive unit when you work together like that. You put partisan politics aside, and you do what's best for the constituents of Spokane within the confines of the law. You know, and we're the second largest city in Washington State. And doing things like passing ordinances that prohibit Customs and Border Protection from boarding a Greyhound bus, to me, that's nebulous. It's a waste of money. It's a waste mm-hmm. of taxpayer money to pass ordinances like that. We have federal law that mandates what they can and can't do. And, those types of things, the Liberal Council, the conservative mayor, come together as a cohesive team, and I think Spokane will be a lot better off. I can't talk disparagingly, and I won't, about any council member or the mayor. I think they've done, you know, as good a job as they were able to up to this point.
So what's your thought about a county jail? Do you think we need to expand and get a new jail, or do you have specific different type thoughts on that, Reed?
I absolutely think we need a bigger jail. That jail was deemed, I think, over capacity in 1982, 83, 85, something like that. Back in 2010, Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich and Mayor Verner at the time, looked like they were going to come to a joint agreement on a potential overflow facility. When Geiger was on the verge of being shut down, and we had this prison in Medical Lake called Pine Lodge. It was shut down by the State of Washington DOC facility, and that would have been a prime location for overflow. I think that, you know, this cooperation between the city and the county, and I think there has been such an impact because of property crime, and things like that, that I think voters are willing to vote for something like a new jail. We can't continue with this catch and release attitude that we have. You know, convicted felons spending 3 hours in jail and then being released. You're victimizing the citizens of Spokane. I think for something like that, they would be willing to invest in a new jail. In the interim, while that jail is being built, and I don't have a specific location, we could invest in something like Pine Lodge as an overflow facility so that we can keep these chronic criminals off the streets for more than 3 hours. With regard to the property crime, first off, we need a extremely robust property crimes division in Spokane. And I don't think it's as robust as it needs to be. You know, it's one thing as a resident of Spokane, your garage gets broken into and your four-wheeler gets stolen. Now, obviously, I understand it's material possessions, but it may have been something you worked your whole life for.
Yeah.
So you're victimized the first time by a criminal who is doing bad stuff, stealing your stuff, and then you get victimized again by the city because they don't have the resources to investigate those property crimes. And to me, that's wrong. So I can't speak for, you know, the criminal justice system is in and of itself probably broken. But at least, you know, for the foreseeable future with a new jail, we can at least hold these criminals for longer than we're holding them for now. And maybe that'll give them pause next time they want to go out and commit a property crime.
We're talking with Sean Poole, one of five people who want to replace David Condon as mayor of Spokane.
The city budget, have you been studying that much, and how would you maybe prioritize spending? You started talking about maybe more officers, or it sounded like that's what you were talking about, more public safety things.
I started this campaign roughly 15 months ago, and I've always stood by the premise that we need to eliminate or reduce waste in city government. And I think everybody who's ever run for political office has said something similar. Got to cut the fat at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually do it. And it can be as simple as sitting down with all your department heads and your chief financial officer and going line item by line item of every expenditure that they have. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at something and realize that's probably not a real wise expenditure. That's probably a waste of money. I would almost guarantee that every department is very similar with regard to wasting money. It's almost a foregone conclusion, and I have a real specific thought as far as what civil service is about. Civil service to me is about giving back to the community that's entrusting you to run that city. More often in this day and age, being a civil servant means you get a brand new car or you get the latest iPhone, Android, whatever, you get the latest computer. Can you be effective and do your job with a five-year-old car? First off, do you really need a city vehicle paid for by taxpayer money? Second off, do you need a brand new car to do your job, or can you get by with a five-year-old car? Do you really need a cell phone? And, you know, and I talk about cars and cell phones and laptops, computers, things like that. Those aren't things I want to take away from people that work for the city that enable you to do your job. But can we do it with a different set of circumstances? You know, like I said, a five-year-old car, not a brand new car. I think if you approach it from that aspect, I think that you're going to find that you can save a lot of money in each department. And you can initially up front help pay for some of those police officers that you potentially want to hire.
Mm-hmm. And with your background in fire department too, were you thinking that you would, you know, in an ideal world, expand the number of not just police but firefighters too?
Personally, I wouldn't. You know, have the experience that I have. We've been, our response times have been absolutely phenomenal, and we pride ourselves on our response times. You know, there is not an area in the city that we can't get to in a matter of minutes, and we have the resources to do it. Again, the police, and you don't hear in the news today, or, you know, the newspapers, you don't hear about the fire service. Most of what you hear about is the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the staffing levels in the fire department, and Brian Schaefer's done a phenomenal job of getting those staffing levels to where they're at today. the police department, it may be a different story. And with the emphasis on property crime and just the sheer amount of bad stuff that's going on, you know, we need 20 or 30 more police officers. You know, for a city this size, we should be about, and these may be a couple year older statistics.
Right.
We should be about 18 police officers per 10,000 residents. And the last time I checked, I think we were about 14.1 police officers per 10,000 residents.
Okay.
So we need to beef up our police department.
What about the West Plains? I mean, we know that the Amazon plant's coming out there and some other expansion. Do you think the city should have any special concerns about the problems that may come with the expansion out there? Or is it all a good thing?
Growth is good. Growth, you know, it infuses money into the economy. Your economy prospers when you have growth. But growth in the correct way. You can't have growth without addressing infrastructure issues. I remember a point in time not too long ago where you could drive on I-90 eastbound and you didn't encounter very much traffic. Try driving I-90 during rush hour now. It's backed up all the way up to Sunset Hill. There are neighborhoods in this city where we have grown, but we haven't addressed infrastructure issues. As a matter of fact, you know, we revitalized the North Monroe Corridor. But one of only five north-southbound arterials in Spokane, and we reduced it to three lanes from five. You know, to me that doesn't pass the common sense test. We have to, if you want to survive, you have to grow. You can't stay stagnant. But you also have to grow in a common sense way, and you have to address the infrastructure issues that come with it. West Plains, you know, the Amazon Fulfillment Center, I haven't seen. And I've driven by it. It's a nice facility for all intents and purposes. I haven't seen a whole lot of infrastructure changes that are going to have to be in place to address the sheer amount of employees that they're going to employ. You know, are they going to commute from, you know, someplace east of Spokane and have to drive and then drive back? It's going to add that many more cars to the freeway that's already clogged up with cars. And traffic is horrible.
You know, related to that, West Plains, do you have any concerns about the city having to send water out that way, or do you know about the background there?
I don't know about the background okay. there. I would say if the city wants to send water out there, as long as it doesn't cost the taxpayers any more than what they're already paying,
yeah.
then and it benefits, you know, the West Plains, then I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Okay. You know, thinking about maybe one more thing, too, because we started to talk about infrastructure, do you want to address just that general question of roads? I know that always comes up every election. Everybody's about the roads, but not many people have talked about that in the interviews so far.
We as a society do a really good job of identifying problems. We really do. And a lot of those problems are complex. But then we want to turn around and we want to identify or come up with complex solutions for those problems. I look at things because of my 30 years of executive military leadership. I look at things in a more simplistic way. You have a problem. It's been identified. It's been identified long ago. So now let's fix it. My simple solution, and it's not some big grandiose complex solution, it's really simple. Everybody in the streets department who is qualified and authorized to fill potholes or pave streets gets out there and they fill potholes and they fix streets. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
We prioritize it in a way where everything else is put on hold until the citizens of Spokane have safe streets to drive on. That's a natural expectation of paying taxes. That's an entitlement that you get as a taxpayer. You should have the ability to leave your house, drive around Spokane without the fear of popping a tire or bending your axle or breaking a rim. And we're failing in that respect. You know, you go get your car licensed and that transportation benefit district $20 fee on there is designed for road maintenance, and it's designed for sidewalk maintenance. I would say that we're probably not utilizing that money very well because the streets out in Spokane, a lot of them are horrible. A lot of the sidewalks are crumbling. So that's my simple solution. Everybody gets out and fills potholes and paves streets. Once that's done, then we can move on to the next prioritized project.
Okay. Hey, Sean, now that's all I have planned to ask, but what is there anything else I didn't bring up that you wanted to add? I always ask this at the end of interviews, just other kind of issues you might want to touch on or?
Let's see. We talked about property crime. We talked about the homeless. We talked about reducing waste in city government. We talked about the roads. For 15 months, that's what I've been harping on, and that's what I built my platform on, is those four specific issues. They seem to be the hot ticket items for people and for voters in Spokane. You know, I can't emphasize enough, and I've been asked this numerous times, what makes me uniquely qualified to run the city mm-hmm. or to be the mayor? I don't think anybody's ever qualified to run a city or be a mayor. There's a lot of moving pieces and parts. It's an extremely intense operationally, a lot of moving pieces and parts. But what I think the most important aspect you need to bring to the table is leadership ability. You don't have to be the smartest mayor in the world, but as long as you surround yourself with the smartest people, the subject matter experts in those areas, then you're going to be extremely successful. 30 years of executive leadership experience, to include managing multi-million dollar budgets and hundreds of people. I don't think any other candidate that's running for mayor has those qualifications.
Sean Poole is running for mayor of Spokane. He's one of five candidates in the race. We won't produce a podcast for Independence Day, but we'll be back on Friday with our final mayoral candidate interview, this time with former television newscaster Nadine Woodward. This is a good time to do your homework for Washington's August primary. The ballots are due to be mailed in a couple of weeks. Our full interviews with the candidates are available for listening anytime on the Spokane Public Radio website. We're adding one interview a day. Click on the Regional News tab and then on Election 2019, or go to the Inland Journal page. You can subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.